Increasingly, small-town grocery stores are shutting down. We've seen this decline as the picture changes over rural America in the last decades. Joining us is Carl Walworth. He explored grocery stores in the April issue of Illinois Issues. Carl, can you tell me what your research came out and demonstrated to you?
I guess we noticed that, you know, that in small towns, and small towns defined maybe as 2,000 or fewer population, there are a couple of key elements to kind of the glue to kind of hold them together. One that is pretty commonly talked about are the local schools, and one that maybe isn't as talked about is to have a local grocery store, a grocery store that has meats and fruits and vegetables more than a convenience store. There's been a lot of research and a lot of work done by the folks out at Kansas State University, and we kind of looked at, is the situation the same in Illinois? And we found that it is. Increasingly, for a lot of reasons, these small grocery stores are not making it financially, and there aren't as many people willing to put in the hours to make it work. And so a lot of really small communities are now without a grocery store.
And what kind of decline have we seen?
As far as I could find, there's no one organization that tracks the exact numbers. And so I didn't pinpoint an exact number, but everywhere I looked, I found communities that had lost their grocery store. Just looking in central Illinois, we found Cerro Gordo, Ramsey, Nauvoo lost theirs and had kind of resurrected it. And there, in our little market in central Illinois, we've had communities like Kansas and in Arcola lost theirs for a while and brought it back. But there are more Cerro Gordos and Lovingtons and places that don't have grocery stores or are losing their grocery store than places like Morrisonville is another example of a community that resurrected their store. So I think it's evident that it's an issue increasingly in small towns.
Well, let's go over to that community looking over the Mississippi River and Nauvoo. And you said they had made an effort to bring a grocery store back.
They did. This is typical. There was what Dutch food store had been owned and operated by the same person for 30 or 40 years, and he was ready to give it up. And there was an effort in the community that said, we don't want to lose our grocery store. And so they went to the owner and put together what would it take to bring somebody in to operate. And they came up with a number of 150,000. And they tried to do kind of like a co-op type arrangement. And there are some examples of these co-op arrangements working in Kansas and other places. It's kind of like the rural co-op of the 30, where people sort of buy shares in the local grocery store. They came up short on their 150,000, and so they scaled back the initiative, and I think they raised $100,000. And my understanding was that store was to open, I believe, in April. I need to double check to see if that's actually happened, but it was on track to reopen. And so essentially, the community banded together and said, we're not going to lose our grocery store, and put some money behind it. And they brought in an operator, and at least for now, they've saved their grocery store.
Well, what are some of the traits that and commonalities and trends that have led to this? I think one of those is sometimes it's that turning a business over to the next generation. The next generation isn't necessarily there or willing to take it over. Is that right?
I believe that's true. There are a couple of success stories in my article, and one is in Windsor, where a father who's been in the business for 40-some years is developing his son as kind of the next owner, and they actually expanded their store. And so it does, one of his points in there is that you can't hire it done. He gets up at 2 or 3 every morning and is there virtually every day. But that would be one, is it's hard to find people who the grocery business is 7 days a week. It's more than 8-hour days, and so it takes a lot of hard work, and sometimes for not great return. And so that would be one factor. Another is, if you just look around Springfield there, Oponee was another example of a community that lost its grocery store. In Pawnee, there would be a number of people who work in Taylorville or Springfield or some of the larger kind of communities around them, frequently those people are going to shop in those communities where they have more selection and maybe lower pricing and those kinds of things. And so you have you start off with a small base, and then part of that base is shopping elsewhere, which leaves really some of the senior, less mobile population and maybe some of the population that doesn't have the income to get out as much. As your base declines, you have obviously fewer customers. And so that's another piece of it. The costs are going up. In some ways, they can't buy in the quantities that a Walmart or a Kroger can. And so it's hard for them to compete on price. And as their costs go up, they're unable to, they already have the reputation of charging more. And so to charge even more is difficult. And some of them cited, some regulations and some things that maybe for corporations that are used to dealing with kind of the regulatory environment all the time, but for a small independent operator, it's more difficult to handle kind of all of the components. I mean, when you think about it, you have to be in marketing, you have to be in kind of display, you have to have an HR, you have to have kind of a business. There's a lot of components to running a small grocery store, and to find the right individual to put in those hours in markets that are marginal to begin with, that is certainly a challenge.
And if you had to say there's a key to reviving a couple or keeping them open, what seem to be those commonalities or recommendations?
Well, the gentleman in Windsor said you have to find a niche that the big stores either can't or won't do. And in his case, one niche is he has some meat products that they put together locally that are high quality and that people will travel for. And in Windsor, which for people that know Illinois, Windsor is about 16 miles from Mattoon and Shelbyville, and not too far from Effingham, but they actually have people who will drive 15 or 20 miles for their meat products. And so carving out a niche would be one. Another is that small towns also, some of them are losing out on some of their restaurants and that kind of thing. And so to have a deli or a place for hot food and where people will come in, and it doesn't have to be a huge area, but at least an area where they can sit down and either pick up a sandwich or sit down and have a quick breakfast. The operation in Windsor opens for breakfast at 5 a.m., and he has some regulars that come in. He sells them virtually every day, and so he carves a niche out that way. And so he has a couple of little niches that attract people and give him a base of business that give him a little stronger foundation in the community. He also does fresh donuts every day. And the other thing they really have to realize is that they're in the service business. And I mentioned that some of the older people particularly, some of them don't have a lot of social outlets in these small towns. And so when they come in, you need to make them feel welcome and talk to them. And if you'll give people a reason to come back and socialize with them a little bit and give them some individual service that maybe they wouldn't get at a Walmart or a bigger store, that is another component to being successful.